This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this final Sunday of the year. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we invite you to worship with us every Sunday on this station.
Do you remember when you were first awakened to the true message of Christmas? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, on this festive day, celebrating Christmas, when God became man, we rejoice with you and all the saints from the beginning, knowing that in Christ we have a Savior who has come to take away our sins. Father, we long to hear this message over and over again, for it alone can bring us peace that God has come to this world, died for our sins, been raised again, and we are yours forever when we trust in you. So grant that this may be a good time that we have together on this festive day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, Christmas is a family holiday. People travel long distances to be gathered with one another. Many traditions are established which are important to the family, and it is interesting to note that in these family gatherings, the children provide a lot of excitement, and they find their way into the traditions that will live on. Let me tell you about one family. This family had two sons, Bob and Tom. They lived as a family in a personal relationship with Christ and were faithful to their church. But soon the children grew up and moved away. Bob went to college, found employment in another city hundreds of miles from home, married Jane, and began to raise their own family. Seldom did they get home for Christmas. But on this one particular Christmas, they made an exception and decided that they would go to Bob's family and share the traditions once again. They traveled there to Bob's family for the holidays, and it was evident that as they got there, they had a little different lifestyle than they once had. It was evident that Bob had walked away from the Christian faith. This was no surprise to the family, but they had never discussed the matter, and certainly Christmas was not the time to cause any heated discussions. However, on Christmas Day, Bob's brother Tom asked a very loaded question. "Bob, what did you think of our pastor's sermon last night?" Bob answered his brother kindly, "You know, Tom, that I rebelled to the Christian faith while I was in college. Then Jane and I were married, and we joined her church, and it was much more liberal than the church in which we had been raised. Consequently, the pastor's sermon was quite different from those we hear in our church when we attend, which is not more than at least once a month. So to answer your question, I appreciated the sermon where he talked about Jesus as man, more than when he stressed that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary, and that Jesus was both God and man. But I have to admit that your pastor presented the text very well. I'm struggling. I probably am the one who has the problem. I'm struggling with this mystical part of the faith. I ask that you pray for both Jane and me, that our faith may be strengthened. We know that if we take the mystery out of the Christian faith, there is not very much left." And so the discussion went on. I think of that story when I think of the mass of people who came to our churches last night and some today. It's good they were there, but perhaps we can see where they stand now, or if I speak to you, where you stand now as far as Christmas and the message of the birth of Christ is concerned. If we turn to the second chapter of Luke, we find some information on Jesus. Luke says in his second chapter, "In those days, Caesarea Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of Judea, because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now this can be read with great interest, both by believer and unbeliever. It depicts life in those days, and what crude circumstances people had to live with. It tells us that he was born in the days of Herod the king. It says that Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so they got to the inn there in Bethlehem, and they asked for a room, couldn't get a room, but they were invited to go out into the manger, and there they could give birth to that child. And that's where Jesus was born. And so we have all kinds of pictures at Christmas time of the babe being born in the manger, and there was a mother and Joseph and others were standing around. But there was a prophecy that he had come to be the Savior of the world. Now, as far again as the life is concerned, a person could say this was a great story, a story of a great religious leader who started his life in a very, very humble way. Now, if we turn to John, we get something that's just a little bit different. For I kind of believe that John wrote this gospel of his sometime later, which we know that he did. And he could well have been over in Ephesus, or he could have been on the Isle of Patmos where he was in exile. And he thought, we need to stress the divinity of Jesus Christ, the other part of the story. So here then, we read in the Gospel of John, he was in the world, and through him the world was made. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who received him, he gave them power to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. That's who Jesus is. He is God. In fact, in the first part of that chapter, John goes on to say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice, the Word was God. Now, who is this Word? That Word is Jesus. He came to live with us. He came here for 33 years. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then came a man by the name of John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. See, there's a difference here. It is not only a babe born in Bethlehem's manger in very difficult circumstances, but he is actually the God-man. So when we look at that babe in retrospect, and those of us who are Christians realize this is God incarnate. In other portions of the Christmas gospel, we learn that he was born of the Virgin Mary. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now those things Bob, in our introductory story, could grasp a hold of. And a lot of other people can do that today who may think that they're Christians, but certainly they are not a Christian in the biblical sense of the word. Jesus grew up. They had to flee into Nazareth for a little while because Herod was going to kill him if he possibly could. And then they fled into Egypt. And then when they returned to Nazareth. And that's where Joseph and Mary and Jesus lived. Joseph and Jesus worked in the carpenter shop. And then on every Lord's Day, they found their way into the synagogue. There was a part of the synagogue service that permitted people to stand up, read a prophecy, and then expound on it. The day finally came when the prophecy was read that the Messiah was coming, and that he would be the Savior of the world. And so the people there in Nazareth listened as Jesus expounded, until finally he said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your presence." In other words, what he was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one who has come. I am not only the babe of Bethlehem's manger, I am the God-man. When they had interrogated him and found out exactly what he was saying, they became very angry, and they tried to kill him. They chased him out and up over the hills and was going to throw him down. And then Jesus left. There is a divinity. There is where the rebellion is. The rebellion that is found in our world today. And yet this is the true message of Christmas. It is not simply the birth of a babe. It is that. And we thank God that we can stress that and live with it and have it to be a part of our tradition and say, yes, of course, this was a very humble beginning for the man, the Lord Jesus, who is also the God-man. My question to us today, friend, is how many of the millions of people around the world have really heard the true message of Christmas and believe it in their hearts? I'm afraid that the percentage would be very few. We have large crowds that fill our churches. And many of these people go to church every Sunday. That isn't it. I'm not trying to get after the huge Christmas Eve services. I used to enjoy them, love them. They were very, very festive. And you never knew what was going to happen at one of those services. They received the message. Christ has come to give us a great example of himself. And it's really wonderful to tell the story and to point specifically and in the concrete to what the Lord Jesus had done. Never before had they had a prophet like that. Never before had they had a person who could give them the great moral teachings that we enjoy in the Christian faith today. So there are those people who sit there in the churches, and I was very well aware of it, and most pastors would be, if they understood what the real meaning of the incarnation is all about, and they would go home. Yeah, they'd say, Christmas is a refreshing time to learn that there was one who came and walked among us as a great, great example. And the world was kind of hard on him too. You see, Robert had not in any way tried to discard that. That's what he wanted. That's what he could understand. That's what could really enliven his whole understanding of the Christian faith. But when it came, as he said, to wrestling with what the scriptures say regarding Christmas, it was another thing. There are those then who know about him, but really do not know him. They wrestle with the biblical message. He does not yet live in their hearts as he would like to live. So Christmas is something far less. But oh, that day when people begin to understand who Jesus really is, then it is that Christmas becomes a time when we can sing about adoring him, for the God-man has come to be with me. That is that group of people, and I pray that you are among them. But tonight, then, or today, we think of those who were with us last night around the world, and maybe they're not even wrestling. Maybe they have just come because it was something that the family had always done and made the relatives happy if he would just go. They've cast it all out. We pray for those people that they might know the real meaning of Christmas. But then there are those, and I think of you so often, people, many of you who yet have come to the place, like Robert in the story, come to the place where you would love to return to the faith that you perhaps had when you were a child or even a youth, or before those terrible doubts began to get into your soul and you just could not accept it, and you're struggling with it today. Listen once again. In the beginning was that Word, and that Word was with God, and that Word was God. That is a specific reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Skip down in that portion of Scripture and you see it says, "And he came to his own," that is, to the Jewish people who had been given the covenant, that they would be blessed to be a blessing, who would come down from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all of the rest. He came to them with his message, "I am the Christ." And some threw him out, and some led him to a cross, and some turned on their face about, thinking, "What foolishness." So it be today, still wrestling. What a day it could be. And what a Christmas in your family, if one who had been led off, or perhaps had never had any understanding of the message of Christmas, could be brought to see that there is the Lord Jesus. He wants us. He loves us. And blessed would be that Christmas. It would be one you would never forget. You could really say, "My great Christmas, my first Christmas, how thankful I can be for you, Lord." So our prayer today is that wherever we stand, if we are just again reliving the Savior and we know of his incarnation, that's fine. That's wonderful. That's a true church. If you're wrestling with this, then pray that God will hear you and that you will live in his Word and let the Holy Spirit convince you that Jesus is God. And if you're completely out of the faith and want nothing to do with it, think about it again. Man needs a Savior, and that Savior alone is the Christ of Bethlehem's manger and the Christ of the cross at Calvary. Amen. Oh, Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. And thank you for giving us that word that makes it very clear that you are the God-man, true God, understanding how we have to suffer sometimes, understanding what temptation is all about, understanding the hurts that can come our way while we are here. But help us to understand that during those days that you were on this earth, you gave some blessed promises. The promise that you would never leave us and you would never forsake us. For unto us there has been born a Savior, and that Savior is Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that you and your loved ones have a blessed Christmas and a healthy new year. As we spend special time with family and friends, let us give thanks for the greatest gift of all, the birth of our Lord Jesus. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gifts to this ministry are tax-deductible. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support during this holiday season. Your gifts enable Christian Crusaders to continue these gospel messages into the new year. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service on this Christmas Day was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.